Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And today we're going to talk about how our diet affects our brain functioning. Have you ever wondered why certain diets work better than other diets? Have you ever wondered why you feel better when you eat some foods versus when you eat other foods?
And when you eat some foods and they make you feel
lousy,
very tired.
Right.
Or they feel, people say, well, it feels like it's just a brick in my stomach.
Yeah. Yes. Well, so today we're going to talk about some different aspects of our diet, but really focus on what some research is showing us as far as how our diet can affect our overall cognitive and brain functioning.
Right. This comes under that larger heading of the gut-brain connection. That's such an exciting topic. I think it began with people who were intolerant of glucose.
Yeah.
People who really, really were allergic to glucose.
Glucose or gluten?
Gluten. 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 I'm sorry.
Both,
right?
Yeah. Well, we're really sensitive. Some of us are really sensitive to glucose because it creates some, well, we need it, but we respond very abruptly to it and it can cause some other problems and stuff. But yeah, absolutely. It kind of, I don't know when the big attention as it relates to, you know, how our brain functions. We've always talked about diet as it relates to our physical health,
right.
and as far as primarily as it relates to weight and heart functioning and diabetes and things like that.
Yeah.
And you know, we were talking about this as we were getting ready for this podcast. We were talking about it yesterday that it's fascinating to me to think about the fact that some of these health related conditions are almost 100% preventable.
Yes. Most of the diseases that we struggle with today are preventable.
I mean, when you think about diabetes, unless you have something physiologically wrong that creates the problem, and that does happen, diabetes is almost completely preventable.
It's preventable.
But yet, it's the second or third leading cause of mortality.
And morbidity.
And morbidity.
Yeah. Office visits, hospital visits, emergency room visits.
Right. Because diabetes is associated with heart conditions.
It's circulatory
associated
problems.
And then, of course, people end up dying as a result of complications associated with diabetes. So, and then there's the whole the connection between diabetes and Alzheimer's and brain functioning in general, and we're going to get to some of that stuff. So it's fascinating to me that, you know, when we talk to some patients and some people, you know, there are many who would prefer to take a medication or to take a pill or to inject themselves with different medications and things instead of changing their diet.
Exactly.
Yeah. So rigid.
And we know that in the early stages of diet, I had a young woman, probably in her 30s, which is young, is able to control her. She has diabetes, but she's able to control it with diet and exercise, right?
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. That had she let it go longer, she would have reached that point where she would have needed synthetic insulin to control her condition. But catching it early enough allows you to control it with diet and exercise, which tells us something very important.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. So let's talk first for just a few minutes about how about this relationship between our overall functioning of our body and our diet. You know, there are those people, and we've all talked to them and we see them here in our practice who regularly say, diet has nothing to do with how my body works, how my body functions. And when you say it like that, it makes you almost double take. It's like, wait a minute, what you put into your body doesn't have any effect on how your body functions. That double take is actually what should happen because you should think, wait a minute, I know for a fact that certain things that I eat affects the way that I feel. And the way that you feel affects the way that you behave. And the way that you behave affects the way that you learn and the way that your brain is going to develop and function, whether you're a child or an adult or whatever.
Right.
So to say that there's not a relationship between our diet and learning our diet and our behavior, our diet and our mood and emotions, and our diet and, of course, the way that our body functions, is not really fully appreciating the way that our body works.
Mm-hmm.
So the fuel, it is very much so, the fuel that you put in is going to relate to the way in which the machine works.
That's right. Your body wants to have certain nutrients, mm-hmm. wants to and needs
right.
to have certain nutrients. If you,
which is why we call them nutrients.
If you think of a cell needs to have certain things.
Right.
And those certain things are derived from the foods that we eat.
Right.
That's the whole, that's in our body to build muscle and bone mm-hmm. and blood and all that. So a second issue is our brain.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that.
Right.
Later today, is that our brain consists of neurochemicals that are derived from our diet.
Right.
So to say that it doesn't matter
yeah.
is folly and dangerous.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that as we're progressing through this conversation, it's important to talk about the fact that, especially here in the United States, we try to say that, well, I'll eat healthy here, or I will take this supplement, or I will do this, or I do that, and that sort of compensates for these other things. And so there was an article that was in the physical copy of Psychology Today this mm-hmm. this month, and I couldn't find it online, so it must just be in the physical copy. And it's called Palate and Possibility.
Yeah.
And it was really fascinating because what they're doing is they're looking at research that connects genes with food.
That was right? one of the most interesting.
It's a short article.
I was going to say one of the most interesting articles I've read this year, but it's a new year. So.
Yeah.
But it is. It was a fascinating glimpse.
It is. And there are some other articles out that kind of touch on the same thing. But mm-hmm. what was fascinating about it is it really goes right at some of those views and perspectives. Right. So just an example that they used was nori, which is the seaweed that's used in sushi, right?
Yeah,
and so we all see sushi as very healthy, which it is. It's healthy, and we think about nori as a good source of different nutrients, macro and micronutrients that is really important for our functioning. And so we think, okay, well, look, we're eating this really healthy stuff, and mm-hmm. our body is getting all those vitamins and nutrients that it needs. Well, it just so happens that through this research, they found that very few of us actually get any benefit at all.
Very few of us.
Very few of us.
We are.
Get anything from the nori because our body genetically isn't made to be able to process that food.
But if we lived in Japan or those some who, other island
right.
nation.
Those who grew up and like their family history is rooted in those Far East areas
right.
where they've been eating that for so long, they said that the hypothesis is that they have also been eating some of the bacteria and some of the other things mm-hmm. that come along with the nori. And their body, their genes have actually changed
right. mm-hmm.
so that they can process that. And that's why, you know, they benefit from the nori when most mm-hmm. Westerners don't.
Because we haven't been introducing it into our diet year
right.
after year after year, generation after generation
right.
to change the DNA.
Right. Mm-hmm. They use another example of dairy.
I thought that was even, well, as interesting
yeah.
as the nori. Mm-hmm.
Because they said that through their research, they're finding that there's really only two populations right. of people who are actually genetically tolerant of cow's milk.
Cow's milk. Right.
Northern Europeans mm-hmm. and certain areas in Africa.
Right.
And they believe that they evolved genetically to be able to tolerate milk because of their extreme circumstances, right. whether it's extreme cold or extreme drought and things right. like that, where they needed to have milk as that rich calorie dense foods, and so they needed it, and so they evolved sort of a genetic ability to tolerate
mm-hmm.
lactose and other things in the milk.
That's right.
Nobody else did. Nobody else has.
And it wasn't too long ago that somebody finally wrote that being lactose intolerant is normal.
Right.
You have a genetic mutation,
mm-hmm.
which we think of as being abnormal, mm-hmm. that allows you to process milk.
Right.
But the normal state is you should be lactose, at least to cow's milk.
Exactly.
You should be lactose intolerant to cow's right. milk. So being lactose intolerant is a normal pathological state.
Right. Yeah. And so again, we have people, and we all know them, who would prefer to take pills so that they can drink milk instead of just not drinking milk.
Just don't drink milk.
And not consuming dairy.
Right.
There's lots of other alternatives besides dairy for some of the same things.
Right.
But we'd rather take a pill, Lactaid, and some of those kinds of things so that we can right. consume milk and dairy products when we really should
be avoiding them. Right.
And if you think mm-hmm. about this, and so this is sort of where we're kind of going, is if you think about it from that perspective, if our body really isn't made to process some of this stuff, but we mm-hmm. continue to consume it anyways,
right.
we're introducing things into our body that our body really isn't equipped to deal, to manage. So the only reason that we're consuming it is for taste.
Right. That's right.
Because it's good. Because it tastes good. We think it tastes good.
And most processed foods, I mean, chemists spend mm-hmm. endless hours making foods taste good.
Right.
Okay. And that's what we're attracted to, and they play on this, the sweet tooth, you know,
right.
that genetically something that is sweet is ripe.
Right.
Okay. And that's why we like it.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have these artificial ways of sweetening things, making them more sweet than
right.
usual, which would be very appealing to us.
Right.
You don't have to teach a child to like sugar.
Right.
It's in our DNA.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at some of the research, it shows that there was an interesting study I read this morning, or article that I read this morning, where they were talking about during the Depression
yes.
era,
mm-hmm.
the only thing that continued to increase in sales were sugars,
right.
sweets. And they said, and somebody wrote in, I think it was the New York Times at the time, they said, clearly people love this because even in the midst of the Depression, the sale of sweets continues to climb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just can't stay away from it, and so, and it from a evolutionary perspective, it does make sense.
Right.
I mean, our body wants glucose to, you know, mm-hmm. that's sort of an immediate energy for our cells to
right.
work and function, and so we want to consume that, and our body says, hey, give me some more of that because I want, who knows when I'm going to get it again,
right.
and our body doesn't understand that we can have it virtually anytime we want.
Right. right.
So it doesn't, so we're stuck in this this cycle
mm-hmm.
Of consuming things that we shouldn't be consuming.
Shouldn't be consuming. That's right. That's right. Because what the body will do, it will either reject it
mm-hmm.
outright, or it will store it in
mm-hmm.
some destructive way.
Right.
Maybe as fat, but not necessarily as fat. The body has a number of very efficient ways of storing things that it doesn't know what to do with.
Right.
Our body really doesn't know what to do with artificial sweeteners because
right.
we haven't used artificial sweeteners
right.
For decades or for
right.
generations. So the body will store it. If I don't know what else to do, I'll store it someplace.
Right.
If I eat too much, I will store the excess someplace.
Right.
You know?
And that storage... Mm-hmm. is fat.
Is and dangerous.
Right. right.
Regardless
right.
of what form it's in, it's dangerous because
right.
it shouldn't be there.
Right.
You're keeping things that
right.
you shouldn't be keeping.
Right. And so, again, kind of following this line, as when we think about this storage, we're storing things that our body doesn't process very well.
Right.
And when our body doesn't process things very well, those things tend to harm us.
Right. That's right.
And we call those toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have these now substances in our body that
mm-hmm.
our body's storing because it doesn't know what else to do with them.
Right.
And it leads to liver problems. It
That's
leads
right.
to, you know, we get things like fatty liver disease.
Mm-hmm.
We become overweight. And as we become overweight, our body doesn't respond to, doesn't process things as well. So then we have our increased risk for diabetes, and then we have our increased risk for heart disease. And as we have diabetes and heart disease, our blood body doesn't circulate everything
That's
as
right.
well. And so when we don't circulate as well, remember, circulation doesn't just get blood to our body, it also takes toxins out so that it can be processed and right. eliminated. Right. And so then we have issues where those things, you know, just think of somebody who has, you know, diabetes, mm-hmm. and if they get an injury to their foot, that is sometimes a life-threatening
event,
issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, my grandfather had diabetes pretty bad, mm-hmm. and ended up with, you know, amputation of his leg, mm-hmm. Because he had an injury to his foot that just, right. I mean, for years, it just wouldn't heal.
Because of the circulation.
Because of the circulation. Right. He right. couldn't get healthy blood there, and it couldn't pull the infection out, and, right. And clean it out. So, so we have this, again, this cycle. And we just need to recognize that the things that we're eating is the start of that cycle.
That's right. We need to appreciate that what we eat and how much we eat have a direct bearing on how our body is going to function
right.
at a cellular level, even at a macro level, because if you're too heavy, you put pressure on your joints.
Mm-hmm.
Put pressure on your joints, you get osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, and your body starts, your skeleton starts to crumble,
starts
to fall apart. So, yes.
Yeah.
If you're storing, it's either toxic or it's stored.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
one or the other. Both are bad for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned a little bit ago the gut-brain axis, the gut-brain connection. And research is now telling us that your gut has more neurotransmitters in it than your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let that sit for just a second.
That's right.
So when we talk about you're thinking with your stomach and not your head, there's a very real aspect to that because your gut has just as many neurotransmitters
mm-hmm.
as your brain does, if not more. And so when we eat things, and so here we're kind of piecing things together. If you're eating things that your body's not responding to very well, your body's mm-hmm. going to respond in a manner to protect itself.
Right.
The way in which our body responds to things when it needs to protect itself is through inflammation.
Right.
Think about if you hurt your elbow, if you hurt your knee, if you hurt some part of your body, it swells because it's got to immobilize it. It's got to, you know, everything goes there to stabilize.
And it gets hot.
Yes.
You know, I had surgery last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my thigh is still hot. To mm-hmm. the touch.
Right.
Okay? That's inflammation.
Yeah.
Those are the healing properties. Mm-hmm. My body is trying to repair itself,
right.
and it does that by rushing these nutrients
that's
there.
That's right.
And those nutrients are hot.
That's right.
And that's what inflammation is.
Absolutely. Inflammation is a healthy, natural process that needs to happen when we have an injury or some type of insult to our body.
You mentioned this cheerleading thing that happened. When those girls get injured...
Mm-hmm.
Like they fall on each other and they get a goose egg, or it swells.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a knot on your head or you get a bruise on your arm, those things swell. That's the inflammation going to the site of the injury.
Right.
Right.
So when we eat things that our body doesn't manage very well, it's going to respond as an injury, as an insult, as an invasion.
Right.
And so that's how we get what we call inflammation in our gut, in our stomach. We get
it's there. We just can't see it.
We can't see it. We don't always feel it,
right?
Mm-hmm. But we experience it through agitation and irritability. Sometimes we have upset stomachs. But what's also really important is that inflammation and agitation travels to our brain,
right?
And then we get that same inflammation in our brain. Again, we're not talking about an encephalopathy, or we're not talking about some brain-based meningitis or infection or anything like that. What we're talking about is just a inflammatory response to what our body is seeing as an intruder
mm-hmm.
that is trying to manage based upon what we're eating.
Right.
What we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. researchers and people have, in general, have been looking for, you know, what is the best diet? What is the best way that we should be eating to decrease the risk for that inflammation that we're talking about, but also to maybe prevent other brain-based issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's some recent research that's coming out that's actually really promising. Mm-hmm. It looks really good.
Right. Yeah, it really is. It's really exciting.
Yeah. So we've heard about the Mediterranean diet.
Right.
Now, your ancestors are from the Mediterranean area.
They're from that area. And as I've said to you many times, my grandparents lived into their 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember, none of them ever used a walker. None of them ever used a cane. None of them ever had diabetes. They lived well into their 80s and 90s and were, we lived up north where they had two-story houses. And they walked up and down the stairs all day long to use the bath. There were no bathrooms on the first floor.
Right.
You either went to the basement or you went to the second floor in these houses. And so for me to see this stuff, walkers and diabetes and all these diseases, they just didn't exist. I just never saw them.
Right.
And they had a Mediterranean diet. Mm-hmm. My ancestors ate a Mediterranean diet. Tomatoes, garlic, wine. They made their own wine. Lots of salad. We had salad every time we ate. We had a salad. Okay. Mm-hmm. We don't eat like that anymore. It was just a normal part of every meal.
Right.
You had a salad. We usually ate it after we ate a meal. It's funny. When I went away to college and people ate salads before, it was served before the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was backwards to me because we always had salad after a meal. But we had salad with olive oil every meal. And so all those foods were just part of our everyday life. We ate lots of pasta, but not a lot of meat.
Right.
Okay. So we were, I didn't know it at the time, we were eating a Mediterranean diet.
Right.
And all the people I knew were healthy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the Mediterranean diet is really, there's been a lot of talk about the Mediterranean diet and for some of that same reason that it's really effective. And they come up or develop this new diet called the MIND diet, M-I-N-D.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is a combination of the Mediterranean diet and something called the DASH diet.
Right.
And that's the dietary approaches to stop hypertension.
Right.
And so they've taken these two diets and combined them into the MIND. So it's MIND diet stands for Mediterranean DASH. So those two diets. Where is it? I lost the title of it. Here it is. The Mediterranean DASH intervention for neurodegenerative delay.
Right.
And so what
it's a mouthful.
It is. It's tough to say.
Right.
That's why
what
I
is it
to
again?
Read it.
It's Mediterranean.
Mediterranean DASH.
So that's the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet. Mediterranean DASH.
Intervention for neurodegenerative delay.
Right. Another way of saying
mind.
Dementia or Alzheimer's.
Okay. Right.
So this is a diet that is an intervention for the natural aging process of the brain.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so we thought we would talk a little bit about the MIND diet today, but also because of the way that the research has been talking about it, but also kind of we have one little caveat to that, and we'll bring up the caveat in just a few minutes. But so the MIND diet basically takes the Mediterranean diet and just tweaks it just a little bit.
Right.
So in the Mediterranean diet, for example, you're recommended to eat fish multiple times a week.
Right.
Well, in the MIND diet, they said one time is enough. If you eat it one time, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. If you eat it more, that's okay, but once is enough.
Once is enough. Right.
The MIND diet also primarily recommends berries as far as fruits go.
Right.
But you know, the Mediterranean diet is a little bit more expensive and has different ones. So these are the 10 brain healthy food groups as recommended by the MIND diet. And that's green leafy vegetables.
Always.
And all other vegetables. And so they have those in two different categories.
But they're in two categories.
Because they're emphasizing the importance of green leafy vegetables.
Right.
You really need to eat a lot of those.
If you don't eat anything else, eat green leafy vegetables.
Right.
They're on every diet. They're on every food plan.
Right.
They're just
And we're not talking about iceberg lettuce.
No.
We're talking about
romaine and beyond.
Romaine, turnip,
collards,
all those really deep green leafy vegetables.
The darker, the better.
Other vegetables, nuts, berries, beans, whole grains.
Yes.
Fish, poultry, olive oil, and wine.
Right.
So those are the 10 brain healthy food groups. And now we're not talking about a bottle of wine. We're talking about a glass a day or so, and primarily red wine.
Right.
And when we talk about, you know, whole grains, we're not just talking about wheat type of grains. We're talking about rice, quinoa, lots of other types of grains right. as well. Mm-hmm. But there are five unhealthy groups that you're supposed to stay away from.
Right. As always.
As always. Red meats.
Red meat, right.
Butter or stick margarine. Mm-hmm. Cheese. Pastries and sweets. And mm-hmm. anything fried or fast food. Right. So those are the five things that you stay away from.
And again, nothing new in those five. Butter, right. a little bit. But yeah, we probably, it's the fat.
Right.
I guess it's the fat, the right. animal fat.
Right. 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 So when we think about, you know, the 10 healthy foods and the five unhealthy foods, like you said, there's nothing new there. But the emphasis here is really on where we're getting the source of the different nutrients right. that we're trying mm-hmm. to get. Fish and poultry. All right. So if all you're eating is fish and poultry, we're not talking about having, you know, 16 ounces of chicken at a meal. No. We're talking about if you have a chicken Four. Breast or something, mm-hmm. the majority of your meal are these other foods.
The other foods.
So you right. want the majority of your protein and you know fat resources and mm-hmm. things like that to come from the nuts and the berries and the vegetables and things right. like that you're eating. You don't want a lot of necessarily animal fat or animal protein. You want to be able to get about most of that from these other sources.
That's right. There was a phrase that circulated when we went on these low-fat mm-hmm. diets, and somebody said, the fat you eat is the fat you wear. And that's kind of true if you're excess fat. But if you eat an avocado, the many advantages of an avocado far outweigh any fat that might be in it.
Right. And even though the fat, though, it, from the avocado, fat from avocado, fat from olive oil, coconut. Fat from coconut oil, that fat is a very healthy,
right.
saturated, you know, unsaturated. Fat.
Right.
I'm sorry, mm-hmm. It's very good for you, and it's completely different than animal fat.
Right.
You know, so most of the time when we're talking about cutting fat, we tend to be talking about animal fat.
That's what, red meat.
Right.
The problem with red meat, it has a lot of fat in it.
Right, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about that kind of right. fat. You know, on the list, one of the 10 healthy things is olive oil, which yeah. is really just a fat. Mm-hmm. So that kind of fat is okay. It's healthy for you, mm-hmm. and you want to be eating some of that.
Right.
And not that you're drinking the olive oil, of course, but when you're cooking, anything you cook should be done in olive oil or coconut oil or even avocado oil. Right. That oil is really good and healthy for you to use and very tasty.
Right.
So that's the that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're showing with this MIND diet is really, really,
really,
really encouraging. Mm-hmm. Now, as we progress through our lifespan, our brain begins to degenerate a little bit.
Yes. Like all of our other organs, you know, mm-hmm. they sort of dry up a little right. bit, shrink a little. By the way, you were making fun of me earlier, so I have to wear these glasses, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why do I have to wear these?
Because you can't see. Oh, that wasn't the answer.
Because
you're...
So the reason I wear these glasses is because my eyes right. have shrunk.
Yeah.
Okay. And when your eyes shrink a little bit, mm-hmm. the visual image doesn't quite reach the retina. Right. Mm-hmm. And so because the eyeball, which is mostly water,
right.
has dried out, just like your skin dries out, mm-hmm. just like your pancreas dries out, your liver dries. Everything dries and shrinks a little mm-hmm. as you age. So too with your brain.
Right.
It dries and shrinks a little with your right. brain. The problem with your brain is that if the process is too rapid,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
then you get into dementias
right.
or the pathological state of Alzheimer's
right.
because your brain has shrunk. Well, what's right. shrinking mainly is the white matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
The white matter. It's mainly the connections
right.
that allow electrical energy, allow the electrical impulses to flow through your brain and to go from location to location quickly.
Right, because when we talk about gray and white matter, the gray matter is primarily the outside. It's sort of the
top
casing
layer of the brain.
Of mm-hmm. everything. And, right. and the white matter, which is really made up of the axons, right? Because that's yeah. those are the connections. And the white matter is all the stuff in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get
all
this
the
shrinkage.
Wires,
yeah,
if
yeah,
you
yeah.
will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it begins to, degenerate and just shrink. Mm-hmm. And so we have a decrease in brain volume. And,
right.
and well, diets like the Mind Diet right. have been shown to decrease the significance of brain
right.
brain volume loss.
Just like our butt, you know, we're told to use our brain mm-hmm. because when you use your brain, you're building axons.
Right.
When you stop doing difficult cognitive tasks, your brain stops growing these neurons. In the meantime, the normal aging process subtracts additional. Right. So you're not growing any because you're not stimulating your brain. Second, the normal aging process is causing a degeneration of those.
Right.
So here's a fix. So the two fixes are exercise,
mm-hmm.
just like with your body. You exercise your brain by making it work harder.
Right.
And you eat these foods that now we know
mm-hmm.
are going to rebuild right. some of that degeneration.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's so an exciting possibility.
It is. And the Mind Diet and the Mediterranean Diet have both been shown to help decrease the effects of aging on you know, that loss of brain volume. So it's really important to be considering, you know, to think about these food groups and food substances.
As I've watched elderly family members get dementia or Alzheimer's, we haven't had much Alzheimer's in the family, but I have seen dementia. Diets change as we get older. People
right.
don't eat well
mm-hmm.
as they get older.
Right.
Number one, they forget to eat.
Right.
That's the first problem.
Right.
Number two, they don't prepare foods. They're not able to shop
right.
to get fresh foods. So they tend to rely on
packaged,
processed,
mm-hmm.
Less food, a lot less protein.
Mm-hmm.
They're not eating as much meat. They're not eating these dark vegetables. And they don't eat as much. So you can see this in the elderly. I can't imagine what it must be like if you're an elderly person living alone.
Right.
You know, especially
right.
in the wintertime where you can't get out for days or weeks or months at a time.
Right.
And you're just not eating the foods that you need.
Right.
So especially
absolutely.
The proteins and these vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah. So it makes sense when we think about and kind of put
mm-hmm.
all this research together that we should be, you know, exercising and eating well. And that it does, you know, it decreases the effects of brain volume.
Mm-hmm.
It decreases cognitive decline, that normal decline that we have in memory and just
right.
processing and decision-making ability. It just helps when we're fueling our body with appropriate nutrients.
Right.
It affects and helps with all those things.
After reading these, this and the articles that we were talking about last week, and this
mm-hmm.
this article about the nori, that
right.
that was a stunning revelation to
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And the discussion we had yesterday
mm-hmm.
about cells and keeping cells healthy. I think that a part of my day is going to be, how do I cook my green leafy vegetables today?
Right.
In what form will I have my green
right.
leafy vegetables today? Because they are definitely going to become a daily part of my diet.
Absolutely.
And a large part of my daily intake of foods are these green leafy vegetables.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, the last piece of not caution, but just a little caveat
mm-hmm.
is that, and it kind of goes along with what we were talking about with the nori and everything, is that some diets work for some of us.
That's right.
And some diets
right.
don't work for others of
mm-hmm.
us. And so it's really important that you know yourself.
Right.
And now the stuff that we're talking about here with the Mediterranean Mind Diet, that's going to fit for most of us.
Right.
It's going to it's going to help you fend off some of these normal
mm-hmm.
Consequences of aging and,
right.
and getting older. But the caution is, just because you have a family member, you have a relative, you have a friend, you have a significant other who doesn't do any of this stuff and remains healthy, they don't have any of these problems, just because they're not doing this and are healthy doesn't mean that it's not true. Doesn't mean that this isn't something to consider and something to think about for yourself. Their biology may just be different.
And it's a big gamble that you're taking.
Right.
I mean, it really isn't worth it when you say, well, so-and-so smoked until she was 95.
Yeah.
Maybe she did, and maybe there's some...
I love it when they have this... She's 110 years old, and she says, you know, I drink a six-pack of beer every day.
Right.
Well, but that doesn't mean that that's why she's 100 years old.
That's right. And there may be something about her body, mm-hmm. because we talked about Nori, we talked about milk. There may be something in her genetic makeup that her body is able to tolerate
right.
what most bodies are not able to tolerate. Because,
right.
in fact, most bodies can't tolerate smoke, can't tolerate large amounts mm-hmm. of alcohol, mm-hmm. can't tolerate large amounts of processed foods. People say, well, I eat fried chicken, you know, three times a week, and I eat mashed potatoes and gravy, and I'm, you know, healthy as ever.
Never ate a vegetable. I love that one. I've right. never eaten a vegetable.
Yeah. No, I don't eat fresh fruit.
Okay.
You know, I don't eat fresh vegetables.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you hear people say that,
yeah.
you know, and I'm healthy. There may be something about your genetic makeup, but the gamble is simply too great to take. We
right.
we just know too much about this process now, and particularly what it does to our brain, what these foods do to our brain, and what they're capable of doing to our brain, to gamble on not doing it.
And the final illustration of that is, it was something else that was mentioned in some of these articles, and that is, they talked about the Eskimos, the Inuit
mm-hmm.
Eskimos.
That's right.
And they were saying, you know, if we look at their diet,
mm-hmm.
which is almost the opposite of what we're talking about here, right?
It's mostly fat.
Meat, high protein, high animal fat.
Right.
And they seem to be surviving just fine. Well, it turns out that they too have a genetic
mutation,
variation
right. mm-hmm.
that has allowed them to be able to tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, and we've heard of people who, you know, who are not of the Inuit ancestry,
right.
who begin to live that type of lifestyle, and then they get what they call protein poison,
right.
and they just, their body can't function with that much protein and animal fat, and they don't do well. The Inuits have developed or had that genetic mutation that allows them to be able to do that. And they said that that's also why they are of relatively short stature,
right.
that it just so happens that the same gene that allows you to be able to tolerate proteins and
mm-hmm.
a high protein, high fat type of diet is also the protein that affects growth hormone.
Growth hormone. Right.
And so that's why they're of relatively short stature.
So they're short. Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. It's all interconnected.
It's like I'm going to play the lottery instead of getting a job.
Right.
You know, you're playing a high, very, very high odds.
Mm-hmm.
The chances are low odds of winning, high odds. You're high risk. That's right. You're gambling on a very, very low probability.
Right.
If you eat these foods that we know are not good for you, and you avoid these foods that you should be eating.
Right.
It would be like going into a casino and say, well, there's a 1 in 100 chance here and a 1 in 20 chance here. Which one are you going to do?
Right.
You're going to take the 1 in 20.
Right.
So don't gamble on these low probabilities. It's just
right.
not with your health.
Right. Okay. So we'll put the links to a lot of these articles and everything in the show notes. So if you want to check them out, and this is just a sampling of the articles. There's tons of articles out there about all of these things. And so we'd encourage you to check them out, give them a read, see what you think. And then look to see how you can make some of those changes in your life as well.
That's right. Start introducing these foods. They're good. They're good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can make them taste. I'll come and cook them for you. It's really easy to do. They can be very, very good.
Very good. So, all right. Well, that is it for today.
I like this topic.
Yeah. I thought it was
a good one.
Mm-hmm. So, I hope it helps you, you know, make some of the changes that you need in your mm-hmm. life. If you have any questions or comments or thoughts or other suggestions or anything, please write to us. You can reach us through Twitter at Dr. Bernie is the contact. And we'd love to hear from you, see what you think, what has worked for you, what hasn't worked for you. And we will...
you know, someday I want to be a contact.
At Dr. Richard doesn't exist.
Well, is that Twitter?
That's... And he...
and he wonders why. No, I want to be a contact.
What's your contact?
I don't know.
See? That's what
I'm
talking about.
You could help me.
I will not go into it on air right now, how many times I have set up your Facebook for you. And
I was trying to get an app yesterday, and I said, I can't remember. So I had to text Bernie. This is the truth. So
it is
Bernie
true.
Told me to get this app. So I said, yes, sir, because I'm compliant and I do what I'm told.
That's what you should.
And so Bernie said, get this app. So I went, and I can never remember my, what is it called? My password. Apple ID. Mm-hmm. Can I remember my Apple ID? And so there's another funny story about that. I tried to park my car one time, and I needed one of those things, the little funny emblems, and you needed your Apple ID, and I didn't know what it was, and you weren't available that day. Well, you were available yesterday. And so I was able to get the app because you knew my Apple ID. I mean, you set it up, so, and all that. But so I appreciate that. So, yes, you could help me with this. I want to be a, what do you call it, contact? I want to be a contact. Why can't I be a contact?
Contact Dr. Richard at, on Twitter, at Dr. Bernie.
Stupid.com.
At Dr. Bernie.
At Luddite.com.
Just say, this is for Dr. Marshall, and I'll pass it on to him.
I have another question, but we should probably bid everybody a good
day. It's going to be a fun day.
No, this is good. Another question.
All right. Well, but do get in touch with us. Do reach out to us because we'd be happy to help out.
I would like to know. I would like to know the listeners' experiences with these different foods and what is getting in the way. What kinds of things are preventing you from doing it? And what your experiences have been with them? Because this is a topic that we are going to be discussing. Frequently and in more detail as the year goes on.
Yeah.
So please let us know your experiences.
Absolutely. So, but we'll be back next week to talk about some other stuff, some other things. Who knows
speaking
what that
of
other stuff
older,
will be. It'll be something.
Yeah.
We'll be another week older next week. So, all right. Until then, stay happy. Oh, well, I should say that I'm Dr. Bernie first, and then you'll say...
I'm Dr. Richard.
And then I'll say, stay happy and stay healthy. Forget to be afraid.
And I'll say, have a good week.